Something coming faster than any of us can imagine and will change our lives in the most dramatic ways is AI.
And while AI used to sound freaky to me and just something that was going to take over my world, it really would have revolutionized my practice had I stuck around. Many of you know, I got so burnt out from charting. It was the big reason I left medicine because I was frustrated with the EMRs, the clunkiness, and the amount of time it took to learn them. Not only that, but not being able to sit and connect with a patient and look them in the eye, like one-on-one while you're actually interacting with them, the whole reason we went into medicine, not to do paperwork.
Yeah, so that's why May and I have started working with Lindy.ai, which is fascinating. They help you produce the most efficient notes, fully customizable, which is different than some other AI products, so you can do what you do best, which is see patients and let the artificial intelligence scribe do the dirty work for you.
Yeah, not only do you get the perfect patient notes the way you want, written in any format, for whatever specialty you're in, and maybe you're in ophthalmology or vet medicine, it will also create the note, scribe and send the patient follow-up instructions, referral letters, consultation notes. It's amazing. Lindy is offering our listeners a 7-day trial to experience the difference of their AI medical scribe. Go sign up at lindy.ai/bsfree to get started. That is Lindy, lindy.ai/bsfree.
Finally, a source of raw, real, and honest information on healthcare issues that matter most. Welcome to BS Free MD. From the latest medical information to how to stay sane as a doctor or a patient, no subject is taboo, no BS is allowed. Now, let's welcome your hosts, Drs. May and Tim Hindmarsh.
Well, welcome everybody back to BS Free MD, Cocktails with Cocktails, hour or so on this fine Wednesday evening. No countdown music, and I'm missing it because it's our theme song and I really am happy.
You hate.
All right.
Countdown. No, the new countdown music.
Yes.
From Spencer is unbelievable. Spencer Kingsley, To Die Elsewhere is his metalcore band. You have to follow him. He's amazing. I'll throw that out there because free advertising for free music. It's a fair trade.
Exactly. All right. Well, tonight on the show, we have a very special guest as well as a new, I think we should share the story about how we discovered
we will.
The cocktail yes. of the evening, which we'll be sharing. Yeah. No. We just bicycled back from there in the rain.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. See, rain in Florida. See, in Oregon, the rain is this depressing sort of grunge musician tears that fall on you, and they're cold and they're drizzly. In Florida, it's like, holy shit, it rains hard. Like really hard.
Yeah, it's like someone turned the shower head on full blast.
Full blast.
Anyway, it's so warm. It's a warm rain though, right?
Yes, which is better. Yes.
It's a warm rain.
Yes. It's like urine.
Exactly. Exactly.
But without the urine taste.
Except I've never had, I don't even want to go there.
Okay, let's stop right there.
I was like, how would you know
right
what that's
there,
like?
We put the brakes on.
Let's end this conversation.
Let's welcome.
Well, I'm going to welcome Desiree. Hello. I'm glad you think we look fantastic for having pedaled in the rain. We cleaned up fast and nice. Yes, we did.
We did.
All right. So tonight on the show, we have actually joining us Dr. Stephanie Pearson, who has been on our podcast before and is actually on our podcast episode tomorrow coming out. Ooh. Yes. Surprise, right?
Awesome.
And thanks for joining us for Cocktails with Cocktails tonight, where we can sip some drinks and share some stories and have a little more fun than maybe on the regular episode.
I am all in, and I would like to know how you know what urine tastes like.
I think pretty much everyone knows that. It's kind of like, look, you are an OBGYN. Are you going to tell me, in all seriousness, you don't know what amniotic?
I know what amniotic fluid tastes like.
I think it's kind of the same. Probably. I'm telling you.
Okay, we have a funny story about that. So our son came home from school. I think he was in fourth grade, and he was all acting all weird. And he's one of those kids that's got the big heart. He's like honest. He can't keep secrets. And after a while, he just started to break down and cry at the dinner table or something. And I'm like, what's going on? All right, I'll tell you. He says, I got in trouble at school. I think actually, he was starting to do his homework, and he was trying to research stuff and asking questions about germs. I'm like, what's going on? Well, okay, I got in trouble because, well, we dared each other to drink each other's pee out of the toilet and taste it. And now I have to write an essay about germs. So we know our son tasted urine in fourth grade.
Well, in his defense, urine should be sterile.
Right? Exactly.
So I'm not so sure that the teacher gave the right assignment.
I don't know if the toilet was sterile, but the urine probably. But you're right. The teacher was actually a friend of ours. And so we did point him down that bunny trail of, urine's sterile and you can taste it.
Well, if it's
in
not,
the old days, like they used to, if you were diabetic. And
right.
So I think he went down that avenue.
If your urine's not sterile, you can
build.
Yeah. There you go.
Because it's a diagnosis at that point.
Anyway, yeah. it was pretty funny.
Yes.
So.
Sorry, we got
this. Well, so thanks for coming on the show. We're hoping to have some fun. And since there's a couple avenues you want to go down, because before we started recording, I was just laughing. We were laughing and talking about names in obstetrics and kids' names. And I was just thinking, got any good ones for us now?
Well, I have one that's completely not related to me. So one of my colleagues delivered a baby as a resident, and this was in inner city Detroit, and they named the child Vagina.
Everyone has one of those stories. We had it, but they pronounced it Vagina.
Yes. I think I know who you're referring to.
I used to think that was an urban myth, but we had one and we got in trouble. Because it was spelled vagina, but the parents kept saying it was vagina, and we were being disrespectful. And I was like, this is what this child is going to get called by every teacher ever.
The best name.
Yes.
The best name.
Wait, I swear that when he told that story, because he had come and done his residency in Detroit, it was inner city, and they didn't pronounce it vagina. It was like vagina. And I think they acted like they didn't know what it was, knowing the right
or like Regina, vagina.
I don't know. Yeah,
right. But the best I ever heard, and this is honest to God the truth, I know exactly where I was when I heard this story. So this is a skydiving buddy of mine from San Diego, and I was down at Skydive San Diego, and we're packing parachutes. And I started telling him, funny names of kids I delivered. He goes, no, dude, I have the king. I have the worst names ever. So he was a industrial scuba diver. So he would, fix drilling rigs or whatever. So he would do these welcome to scuba diving experiences for kids in these schools. And he had a kid, and his name was Shit Head.
How is it pronounced?
So he sits there,
like Saturday Night
and he looks at this, and he's like, "What in the name of comments? What am I going to do? This kid's name is Shithead.
Yeah,
like it's literally Shithead." And he's like, "Sh, sh," and the kid's completely ignorant. He goes, "That's Shithead."
Shithead. Wasn't it
Shithead? Yeah,
Shithead.
And I'm like,
That's just mean.
It's mean.
It is mean. It's but either you're so naively dumb that you're that dumb to name your kid that.
But if you've read Outliers, where they have the names and at the end of it, there was the family where they had twins, and they named one kid Winner and one kid Loser. And Loser became like a police sergeant and was super successful, and Winner went to jail.
All right. My biology teacher in 10th grade, his name was Richard Head. And the first day of class, you see where I'm going. The first day of class, he said, "My name is Richard. If anyone calls me anything but Richard, you are out of my class." And he started laughing because you have a bunch of 15 and 16 year old high school kids.
Oh my gosh, yes.
It's like the funniest thing in the world.
Oh my gosh.
See, I think I would have just owned that.
Right?
It's like, I'm teacher dickhead.
You would have. That's you. That's you.
That would have been the better way to go. I think he actually might have gotten more respect from everybody.
No kidding.
Instead, everybody was snickering behind his back.
Right. You should have just played along with it.
Well, then you can. No, but it's a license to be a complete a-hole, which I would love. Like, that's the best license ever, right? It's like, you gave us too much homework. Your test was too hard. Hey, your teacher's a dickhead. I mean, like, that is the best. That's the free. That's the freaking hall pass of all passes.
I hadn't thought about that.
So do you ever have to talk anybody out of naming their kid otherwise anything?
Yes.
For real.
One that I remember distinctly was somebody asked me how you spelled Xavier. And I said, "Ma'am, if you don't know how to spell it, I don't recommend naming your child that." She did not like my response and said, "That's not what I asked you. I asked you how to spell it." And I said, "Well, the real spelling is with an X. If you think that that's going to be difficult, you can certainly use a Z because it's your child. You can spell his name whatever you want."
Exactly.
I just think if you have to ask how to spell it, it's probably not the way to go.
Oh my goodness.
So that was one. And then we've had a couple where people were going to name their twins like too close. And we're like, "Oh, are you sure about that?"
Like Molly and Polly or?
Like stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, where like one letter's different. Like we actually had one where the name was exactly the same. It was Jenna and Jenna, but one had one N and one had two N's.
No, that's like George Foreman and all his Georges.
Right. And I was like, "Are you sure you want to do that? Like, they should really have their own identities, i.e. their own names." Yeah. I mean, we've seen some pretty interesting.
Wow.
Remember Yuretsky, May? So there was this like unbelievably great seasoned obstetrician that trained us. And every time somebody like, you know, he would deliver a baby, "Oh, what are you going to name them?" You know, and they would come up with some super avant-garde, you know, "I'm the only person in the world that named the kid this."
Right.
And his response was, "I delivered three of those this week."
Yes.
And it was just like poking the balloon with the pin. It was absolutely amazing.
That is pretty cool.
You could just hear the deflation in the room. Oh,
you know, I don't have a whole lot of room to talk. Our kids, we have a Jacob, which is, you know, very biblical. Yes. And then we have McAllen, who goes by Mac, but such a stupid story. But I'm Jewish and my husband's not, but I really wanted our kids named in kind of Jewish tradition, which is you name somebody after somebody that's passed. And Jacob is actually my grandfather's name. My brothers and I all said that our firstborn boys would be named after our pop-up Jack, whose birth name was Jacob. So we have a Jack, a Josh, and a Jacob. When it came time for our second son, my other grandfather's name was William. But my father's name is William because it was my mom's dad. And my husband's father's name is William. And at the time, they were both alive. So I was like, "We can't name him William." And we could not agree on a W name. And we were out drinking one night. And me thinking I'm funny, I say, "Well, if we can't come up with a W, let's flip it upside down and we'll come up with an M name." And at the time, my husband's favorite scotch was McAllen. And he, thinking he was funny, was like, "Let's name him McAllen." And I'm like, "Mac Myers sounds pretty cool. So Sure. Why not?
I'll drink to that.
Literally,
I love it.
That is how he got his name.
That's a great story.
Well, so our That's son, awesome. Our
we,
son.
Well, we copied you with our son. There you
so
go.
It was. It, this is a great story too. Like, it's very moving. So May got to meet my grandfather before he passed, and he was an unbelievably cool guy. And he had no middle name, so he was Jacob J. Kowalenko. So from a, what would I think now be Belarus. And May, after she encountered him, she said, "If we ever have a boy, that's his name." And that's how he got his name.
And of course, so it was exactly at that time when everybody was named Jake, right? And Jake, you would know that.
Yes, I feel terribly. My Jacob had four Jakes in his kindergarten class.
Wow. But
he was the only one who you had to call him Jacob. Like, he really didn't answer to Jake. And it was weird. For the longest time, people would meld his first and last name together. So, like, there was a Jake, a Jakey, I don't remember what the third one was, but mine, he was Jacob Myers. Like, nobody just called him Jacob. It was the whole thing shrunk together.
That's funny. That's funny. I know. Kid, names with kids is interesting because our Jake, he's always been a Jake, really, until, you know, he has to write legal documents. But the story with that is our daughter, her name's Olivia, but we've always called her Livy or Liv. She goes to school. She just used to Livy. And, you know, I think it was picture day. And she came home crying because she's like, they got mad at me because they called Olivia Hindmarsh. And I said, and, you know, she goes, finally, someone's pushing me, the teacher. She goes, my name's not Olivia, it's Livy. And then, you know, she and then they're like, it's okay. You know, it was kind of sweet and kind of funny. And then she's like, I guess my name's Olivia, right? I'm like, yes, I thought you knew that.
Yeah, well, and then now that she's an adult, it's back to the origin.
Yeah, Livy's not cute anymore when you're 26.
Mm.
Anyway. Names.
Yeah. Yeah, I am always curious when Mac is going to use his full name, because he goes by Mac. I mean, nobody calls him McAllen. But.
Well, that's like a guy I went to school with. His nickname was Woody. I'm trying to think of his official, what is real? Alan. It's Alan. He legally changed his name.
How did he get Woody out of Alan?
It had something to do with when he was a kid, probably playing with sticks or something. I forget.
Oh, my mind went somewhere else. So sorry.
But he legally changed his name, I think, when he was in college. And that's it. It's been
Woody. Well, my buddy Tad, his father's name that everyone knew him by, I honest to God don't even know his real name. It's Boots.
Oh, yes.
Because he always wore boots that when happens. He was a little kid. Because, you know, it's Oregon. You got to wear, you know, protect your feet. So he's just Boots. He's like Boots Davis. Like, everything. Boots Davis. I have no idea what his name
is. Right? I mean, it's kind of cool. My name is so boring.
So let's go to the origin story.
I don't know. Is there a good story?
Let's go to the origin story of where McAllen and Jacob came from.
Oh, we don't want to get that kind of detail.
Well, we want to know. No,
go back another step. Because, I mean, we all know how it happened.
To the very, not, a, we know how it happened. We're all doctors. We want to know how you met your husband, because that is an amazing story.
All right. So, my husband, Ryan, is a critical care flight nurse. So, when we first met, he was in the emergency room and the ICU, and I was a resident. And we started out as kind of hospital friends, right? You talk to people in house and you never really see them or talk to them out. And fast forward, I am a third year resident. We have a month elective that you can do anywhere in the world as long as you set it up. I go to Vietnam. This is back in 2004. It is before the iPhone. It is before everyone had laptops. And I'm going around getting email addresses from people because I was told that I would have access to a computer. And him being all machismo and whatnot was like, oh, you're not going to ask for my email? And I'm like, dude, we've never spoken outside of the hospital. You're really going to email me when I'm halfway around the world? Well, he emailed me more than anyone. and I was dating somebody at the time. He was living with somebody at the time, which I didn't know until later. I come back from being away for 5 weeks and I'm on night float. He works only at night and we start talking more. And the next thing I know, there are Reese's peanut butter cups in the freezer with my name on it. He's allergic to peanuts. So he, you know, gets to me through my stomach. And then he says, are we ever going to hang out outside of the hospital? And I'm like, well, I don't know. Fast forward, there is a delivery and my patient proceeds to have an amniotic fluid embolus.
Ooh, oh my.
I proceed to shit myself. I'm like, how did I say that?
No,
actually,
said.
I think if you actually look at the algorithm of being an amniotic fluid embolus, it's a make the diagnosis, shit yourself, send patient to
and
ICU.
So for the people listening that don't know what an amniotic fluid embolus is.
It is the most catastrophic complication you can have in a normal delivery.
Basically, for some reason that we still don't totally understand, some of the amniotic fluid leaves the uterus and makes its way into your bloodstream and essentially causes a clot. Similar to a pulmonary embolus, but a little bit different. And the mortality rate is through the roof. And most residents learn about it. It's a test question on every boards, but a ton of docs will tell you that they've never seen one in real life.
Yep. Right.
For sure.
So she's having an amniotic fluid embolus. I'm the third year trying to like figure all this out. Actually, I'm lying. It was the very beginning of my chief year because it was in July. So I'm a brand new chief. It makes it even worse. And we call a code overhead. And who do I see running towards the labor floor but Ryan? And pretty much everyone in the hospital knew that he was hands down one of the best nurses. And so he comes running. I'm like, thank God, because he can keep a rock alive. And he literally very nonchalantly is like, I got it. Don't worry about her. She'll be alive in the morning. And I'm like, yeah, okay. But he takes her to the unit. And maybe a couple minutes later, I get a phone call. What the fuck is a fundus? And I say, didn't you fucking go to nursing school? He said, you want to come hang the fucking drips. So after the third F-bomb, I'm like, touche, because I can't hang the drips. So I walk over to the ICU and, you know, press on her fundus, which for everyone listening, right, it's the top of your uterus. After you have a baby, you need to clamp down. And so you do regular fundal checks. He was thinking eyes, right?
Oh my gosh.
It kind of makes sense, right? Like, because he's not dealing with a whole lot of pregnant, post-pregnant people.
Right.
So, and there are stock orders, right? So like you go into the computer and you check boxes. So I go, I show him and I'm like, but by the way, unless you see like blood pouring out of her, don't worry about her fundus, keep her alive. And literally like a week later, we went on our first date. And 12 weeks later, we were engaged and we have now been together 18 and a half years.
That's awesome. No, I love it. I love it.
It's a very, like, it's pretty similar to us. We dated for a year and we were engaged for what, 3 months, four months? I don't know.
Yeah, three. Not very long. I stalked him. It was weird love notes that instead of Reese's peanut butter cups that I stuffed in his locker and put on his windshield and And made these anonymous tales that they had to actually, I say they, because he would take them and we'd sit in the common area at lunchtime with all our classmates. And he's like, I'm getting stalked by some psycho. And he'd start reading that. And he goes, anybody know who this is? And then for a little while, everybody's laughing. And it's like, I think it's some guy that likes you. And then he's like, no, I think it's somebody from high school. And it was a little dropped hints about me and my life and my interests and hobbies. But I changed my writing and changed enough stuff about me that he, you know, didn't know.
Yes.
Anyway.
How'd you find out?
I think eventually.
I was trying
to drag it out until Valentine's Day and surprise him.
The totality of evidence and the fact that we were such good friends. And then I was like teetering on, okay, like this is, you know, clearly if you want to have a successful marriage.
No, but how did you figure it out was me?
I was like, there was no other, there was no other options at a point. I mean, after like 2 months of this, there was no other option.
No one else came forward.
So I was like, yo,
what are you doing?
Must be this psycho friend of mine that I sit beside in class.
Yeah, no, it was fun. Like we were
friends in class for a long time because I was ahead of Tim for a while. I dropped out of med school, came back, and then started sitting by him in class. And then he was funny and made me laugh. And then we became friends and hung out. And then,
I said, you know what? I want to marry an unbelievably muscular lawn ornament.
Okay. Not sure where I should go with that one.
Yes. I'm not very tall.
He's like a garden gnome. There you go.
I'm kind of a garden gnome in that regard.
A biker. Actually, we have a little biker.
We have a biker garden gnome. Which is apparently me.
Anyway. Yes. And so that happened. And then. Yeah, we had a short engagement because we had to do the match for residency together. I'm like, come on, make a decision. And then 32 years.
Awesome.
So here we are.
Okay. Yeah, so we did the reverse. We only dated for 3 months.
Right.
But then we were engaged for almost a year.
Ah, well.
So you guys, you know, we flipped it. But I found out later that friends of ours were taking bets on when we would get divorced.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow. That's interesting.
Well, I had always said I was never getting married. I was never having kids. It was not in my life plan. Mm-hmm. And I had had relationships that were like 5 years here, 2 years there. So when it came to the, are you kidding me? You guys started dating in July and it's October and you're engaged. Like, what is wrong with you? And I just kept saying, I think I know what I know. I was 30 years old. I was a doctor. I was on my own. I was paying my own bills. I was like, I've kissed enough frogs. And then it hasn't all been, you know, unicorns, sunshine, and roses.
Right.
Actually, that tells you otherwise is full of shit. But, you know.
It's funny how life changes you. I said the same thing. I was like, I don't think I ever want kids. No thanks. I'm not cut out for that. I've dealt with enough babysitting and kids in my childhood that I'm like scarred and done. And then, things change. And
you're like, I want to have his babies.
I know.
No, that's exactly right.
A few years
right.
ago, I mean, I'm like, let's have another one. And he's like, good Lord, lady.
No, it's the most primally human thing there is to raise a family. Like,
I literally came out of the bath. This might be too much information. I have no secrets. I literally came out of the bathroom and said, buddy, I just pulled my Mirena.
I love it.
And he was like, we weren't going to talk about this. I'm like, oh, we're talking about it right now.
This is fun. This is how doctors communicate. Drive our kids nuts. I'm sure yours too. But, yes. You know.
No, that's exactly. And actually.
That's sexy talk, right? I just pulled my Mirena.
That's what I said.
Oh, dude. Yeah, no. That would be. And actually, it's not hard to do if you know what you're doing. No speculum needed.
None.
It shouldn't be hard.
That's why he was like, he's like, shouldn't you see your doctor for that? I'm like, I know how it works. And pulled it out.
Well,
but let's, for those listening, don't try that at home.
Yeah, don't try that at home. It's not highly advisable.
I can't remember. I think it was our first child. Because I was delivering a lot.
Did you deliver somebody that had one stuck to their head?
Oh, we've all been there too.
Yeah,
no, I have not.
He was holding it.
Oh, isn't that ironic?
Was he flipping them off at the same time?
No, no. But I do have a picture. I have an ultrasound picture. One of the very first ultrasounds I ever did. A kid gave me the finger, and I kept it hooked to the inside of my little red book. Remember the OB?
Yep.
I remember it was red. I can't remember what it was called, though. But it lived in that jacket for a decade or more.
That's awesome. I love it.
Yeah.
That's so
I think
awesome.
I would have put that on my badge.
But I remember.
I have it somewhere.
That's great.
When I like when May had our first child, I got up And she was kind of contracting off and on all night. And so it was nothing really spectacular. And I got called in for another delivery. And I looked at her and I said, look, like, tell me what I have to do.
But the place was
full. Do I have time?
They wouldn't let me in.
Do I have time to go
deliver
a baby and kick one of these women out?
And then you came home.
Or what? So I went in, I don't know, like five.
Yeah.
And I delivered somebody. And I came back and I'm like, how are you doing? I'm okay.
So he had to check me to see how far along dilated I was to know if they needed to make room at the inn, so to speak. I'm like, this is getting weird.
You know, he's a trained professional.
No, I know.
Exactly.
I know. Anyway, how many people can say they do that at home?
Yeah, I had my husband check me. I started contracting with both of them around 26 weeks. And I'd be like, I'm not going to be that person who goes in and, you know, isn't doing anything. And I just need to be hydrated. And so I'm like, you need to check me. And he was like, you know, that really makes something that's pretty sexy, not sexy. And I was like, buddy, things are about to get a whole lot not sexy. So check me. So I know if I have to go to the hospital or not. And ergo, I did not have to go to the hospital.
No, yeah. And you'd be like, I'd do it myself if I had like, what are those arms and that character on one of the Invincibles or no, one of those superheroes?
Gadget.
Yeah, you have Gadget. Inspector, you do have the Invincibles. One of them was like
super stretchy.
No, arms. I would.
Yeah, I would have just done it myself.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I circumcised my son because
I couldn't do.
Didn't want to pay for it,
and
B, I trusted no one more than I trusted myself.
No, I get that. My husband's going to listen to this and kill me. So my husband gave me two boys, right? Because we know that that's where we get the Y from. However, neither of them had working gadgets, so to say. So our first had a huge hydroseal. And so we put off his circumcision until they did his hydroseal repair. So he was done in the OR. Our second one had a horrible hypospadias, like really bad. And he too was eventually circumcised in the OR because they needed to use the foreskin to create his shaft and do all the so thankfully, in a weird way, there was no chance for me to do the circ. We had talked about it leading up to it because I was like, I don't really want to moil doing this on my kitchen table. Like, I do it every day and it's sterile and nobody's watching and I can cry and he can cry and we'll, you know. But as it turned out, both of them needed to be done in the OR. So we got a free pass.
Saved by the OR.
Right?
Correct.
There you go. A blessing in disguise with all that stuff going on.
Yep.
Wow.
So
I'm just like, hey guys, I don't really want to talk about it, but does your junk work? And then they're like, Mom, leave us alone.
Yes, that's good. That's normal.
That's totally normal.
Yeah. But I'm curious.
Of course. It doesn't matter if you're a mom and you're a doctor, you still can't get away with it. I think people ask that stuff. And
no.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
That's I'm like, I'm a doctor. They're like, you're still her mom.
You're still my mom. Bugger off.
Mom trumps doctor every time. That's the guaranteed.
Absolutely.
So what I think is really interesting and what we will talk about tomorrow when tomorrow's show comes up.
Yeah.
Is how you are able to reinvent yourself as a physician, which is not common. You know, you had this horrific injury. You learned the hard way about how disability insurance works or in some cases doesn't work.
Yeah.
And then you literally transitioned from this very narrow scope of knowledge because physicians are very highly trained, but we are very narrowly trained, which don't really get.
Yeah.
To a completely different world. And have been very successful in that. I think that is absolutely amazing because a lot of doctors in your situation would have just curled up in the fetal position and said, like, you know, what am I going to do now?
I thought about it. you know, I think I told you guys when we talked about it, you know, I did go through a period where I was suicidal and thought that my family would be better off if I was dead, because I was worth a lot dead. And because of what I learned on both the disability and life side, I was really only thinking financially. And I was like, look, I'd be better off to them dead than disabled and not working. And it took me a while to get out of my own way. And I truly think that, without sounding incredibly trite, it really came down to what legacy I wanted to leave my kids with. I might not have shared this. My mom probably was a horribly controlled bipolar sufferer, and she attempted to take her life multiple times in my childhood, from the time I was 13 until I was about 21. And all I kept thinking to myself, and that was why I never wanted to have kids. I did not want to do to human beings what my mom did to me. And having that thought process when I was finally able to kind of get off the roof mm-hmm. was, this isn't how I want them to remember me, right? Like that's not how I want to go down. And I decided, with a lot of therapy and pharmacology, that I wanted them to see somebody rise out of the problem, right? And what was I going to teach them if I got kicked and I stayed down? Oh, no pun intended. I wanted them to see me come back, and I wanted them to be proud of me, and I wanted them to be able to actually say, that's my mom. And I dabbled in a bunch of stuff. I did some biotech consulting. I did some medical editing. I did some med mal defense work, and the insurance stuff didn't really fall in my lap, but kind of fell in my lap, in that I was talking about it to anyone who would listen, and people started asking for my help. And I was like, maybe. And it was really my husband that was like, you know, you now know more about this topic than just about any insurance agent or broker I've ever met. So go get licensed. And I was like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I'm a doctor. I'm not a salesperson. You know, and he's like, but that's it. You're an educator. And that's what's going to resound with people. And fortunately, it has. And that's really where it all started.
Wow.
No, it's such a great story. But, I have been reading Man's Pursuit of Meaning.
Oh, yeah. Viktor Frankl. Everyone should read that book.
No, you have to read it. It's a classic. It's amazing. But it's fascinating because, you know, he quotes Nietzsche, which is, you know, the quote of, you can, what is it? If you have a why, you can deal with any how.
Correct.
So when you have a purpose, you can deal with almost any level of suffering. And he himself proved that by, you know, observing and suffering himself through Auschwitz.
Yeah.
And that's it. So your why was, you know, what are my boys going to see? What are they going to, what legacy am I going to leave for them? And then you figure the how out when you have a why. And I find that so powerful.
And most of it was gut and hustle. I mean, I didn't know how to run a business. I didn't know, you know, how to do most of the things that we've ended up doing. Thankfully, you know, I'm also a firm believer of nobody does it by themselves. My husband has been my biggest supporter. He was constantly pushing me and did a lot of the back end stuff so that I could do the front end stuff. So he, you know, created the LLC initially, and he got our EIN, and he did a lot of the stuff that I didn't really know how to. And I was so focused on getting the information out to people that he handled really most of the back end. And now he's our CFO. So it's really cool that we get to work together too.
That's awesome. I love it.
Yeah. And you know, May and I have worked together a lot. And it's fascinating. People are like, how do you do that? And I said, here's the key. We have worked together for decades as equals. And it's amazing. When mm-hmm. we were equals and she was my nurse for a little while, it was a freaking disaster. Like
10 months. That was not a little while. It was awful.
Yeah. As long as we're, I mean, I tell her, I would just give her orders because that's what doctors do to nurses. I'm like, call this patient. She's like, call that. You call them. They're an asshole. I'm like,
yeah.
And you know, and it's, it, but that's really crazy because from a, like a relationship perspective, you know, this whole partnership of equals is unbelievably yeah. powerful.
It's been really nice. I mean, he'll still joke, you know, like if something happens and he's got to fix it or clean it up, he's like, Jesus, I've been taking care of doctors for my whole life. And I'm like,
there you go.
Well, you're not going to stop now. So
that's true.
You know, because, you know, it was not easy. I don't think he would admit it, but it wasn't easy in the beginning. You know, we switched roles, the traditional roles, right? Mommy right. was the doctor. Daddy was the nurse. It was a little bit confusing for kids who would be like, what do you mean your mom's a doctor? What do you mean your dad's a nurse? Right. So we flipped that from the get go. And I'm sure that it had to have an impact. And it's been really nice because we are complete equals now. We make the same salary. We get the same distributions. There's no differentiating between the two of us.
No, that's awesome.
So were you going to ask and run a couple of scenarios by Stephanie to see what you would think?
I was, but this has been so great. I don't want to screw it up with like nonsense when, you know, this has been a little bit more heavy, but really powerful conversation because, you know, we don't get to have these kind of conversations that, especially on DocTales, right? Like, cause mostly I'm losing my shit over how Canada's burning their country down or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, like get in line. And this has just been so refreshing because
yeah.
You know, it mirrors our relationship to a certain degree, mm-hmm. but it's still very different. And to see like we live in a country, we live in a nation, we live in a world where people have forgotten that what really makes the difference in your life is resilience.
Mm-hmm.
It's physical resilience, it's emotional resilience, it's relational resilience.
And that's something that's
yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And
I'm learning that right now.
You have been very resilient.
Well, thank you.
And that is super awesome to see. If our listeners want to learn more, especially if you're a doctor that needs to be covered, then listen tomorrow.
Please.
Yes, absolutely. And gosh, I can't.
I adore you guys.
I'm trying to remember the other episode that you were on. Desiree will probably look it up right now and ping us so we can remind everybody. But I suggest people go back and listen to the first episode that you are on the show just to get the broad information on the importance of and your story about needing disability insurance, life insurance, and just what's important, especially in physician life. And how it is to get covered. But we get into more nitty gritty on the show tomorrow and the details of that. Tim was going to throw some silly scenarios your way. But now I think it's just
another time.
Cliche.
I don't want to buzz.
But
we do have to talk about what we're drinking.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
So
for us,
this is Suncoast Gold. We made new friends today at the Loaded Cannon Distillery, which is literally 1.95 miles from our house, not two, 1.95. They are amazing. They have like 38 different flavored spirits. They have bourbon. They have like everything. This vodka is fantastic.
Yeah. So we got a tour. Ironically,
I think we're going to do
the owner
a live stream from there.
Yeah. The owner. And his buddy, Mike, that run it, is actually a chemical engineer. We started talking and it turns out he
he worked all over. And at first I thought he was in the military because he moved so many times. Turns out he worked for Dow Chemical and then actually worked up in Canada at the plant where my cousin lives and works. So I'm going to have to see if he even remembers him. But so it was super fun. The place is really cool. And yeah, they have amazing, amazing spirits.
And it's all kind of pirate themed because it's loaded cannon.
Yes.
And I was like, I've been telling May every morning to release the booty. And somehow it doesn't work. Cannon's loaded, woman.
This is too much for Stephanie.
Poor, no, because...
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I think you and my husband are cut from the same cloth.
Well, it's just kind of the man cloth.
I'm just going to say, maybe. I'm sorry. The Canadian thing. I'm sorry.
You're sorry?
Take a sip of your beverage and drown.
Well, if we want to do scenarios, we can.
So people could go to loadedcannondistillery.com to check it out. If you live in the area, we recommend... coming
Lakewood
and
Ranch.
Tomorrow night we will be there because they're having trivia night, and Tim will never say no to trivia night. So
are you a trivia buff? I'm kidding. You and my husband, I think, would be friends if we lived, you know, kind of close, because we couldn't be further apart if we tried.
No kidding.
Tim is a trivia buff. If you want to go through some of these scenarios,
Tim's a trivia buff, except when we come to the local club here where we live.
I'm gonna pee my pants
because it's out of his genre, so to speak. So we live in our gated community, and the first story we shared, it was super funny. Our son, who helped us move to Florida, was here. He's a super intelligent aerospace engineer, knows all this trivia. They're both into sports. So there was this trivia night at the club in the fall. And so the three of us go, and I'm like, I'm just there to help with some of the random questions. And they think they're going to win. Well, they had these teams of 8 and 10 people, and we were doing great in the first round. When the second round came along, all the questions were these music themed questions. And basically, you had to put the name of the band to the song that they sang. And of course, it was all stuff from my mom's generation, like from the 40s or the 50s. And at that point, our son Jake just said, well, this is BS. He gave up and started reading his book, and Tim tried, but we lost. I think we were second last because the music portion killed us, because it was all stuff that, you know, my mom listened to. So that was the end of trivia. So anyway, maybe he can redeem himself tomorrow.
It's funny because Ryan and my Jacob are amazing at Jeopardy. And yes. I don't know why they know what they know or how they've made it into their long-term memory, because I feel like a numbnut watching Jeopardy with them.
That's what I always say. I try every now and then. I'll get, you know, 1 of 10.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, how do you know all this stuff? And where does it go in your brain?
And half the time they're like, I don't know. I just must have heard it at some point.
Yeah. Tim's always saying, I don't know. Like, don't you remember that? I heard that blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh my gosh, where do you pack that away in your Rolodex of your head?
I guess
too busy thinking about what the grocery list is and when the laundry needs to be done. I don't know. I pack it full of useless garbage. But
I get so excited if I get a couple questions right and they just slay it. And I'm like, I don't get it.
I don't either. We're talking about Jeopardy and
no, but it's a completely all the trivia different, stuff. It's a completely different way of thinking.
How do your brain even thinks of this?
No,
crap?
It's what all
team
it's all
won the World Series in 1984. I mean, who cares?
Well, yeah, but it's all algorithms. It's like, I know where I was. I know what was happening.
He's a savant, I think.
Right, but I can't remember the grocery list.
Timmy McGuire.
But it's funny because my husband will say the same thing. He's like, I don't know why I knew who made that painting, but don't ask me what I had for breakfast. So it's that whole long-term, short-term memory thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah.
Like,
if he opens
the refrigerator door and stares in there, he still can't see the milk, but he can tell you.
No, I think butter has a cloaking mechanism that makes it invisible.
I've not heard that one before, but, you know, if that's your story and you're sticking with it.
I think so. So if you want to get into some scenarios, have you?
That's up to you.
We looked up the 10 worst insurance fraud cases in the United States.
Okay.
I'm sure I was thinking she's probably read these already and heard of them. In fact, there's one that just hit the news 3 weeks ago. Did you hear about it? But a doctor who I think it was in Michigan. And they didn't say the details, but mostly it was she was on disability collecting all this money and then returned to work and they caught her. So she has to pay massive fine. And a lot of these are based on people that are trying to, you know, collecting money and then still working.
Look, at the end of the day, there is always going to be dishonest, fraudulent people, period. Right. We're never going to get away from that. It is part of the human diaspora. Is that the right word? I've heard some stories locally. I've heard some nationally. You know, it all goes back to, look, I want those people to get caught. Right.
You don't make you don't make the decisions on who gets or denied. No, you're on the other end trying to help people.
I'm trying to help people get the best coverage that they can.
Exactly.
And I am known for saying, I'm okay being famous. I'm not okay being infamous. Right. So I need people to be honest, right? I need people to not lie. And we give people plenty of chances to provide accurate and real data, right? And every now and again, something comes up and I hear back from an underwriter and they're like, this wasn't disclosed on the application. I'm like, I am not omnipotent. Let me go back and see, right? And so I don't want there to be fraud. And if there is fraud, I want it to be found because we need these companies to be solvent.
Exactly.
To pay the realistic, real claims that people have. So, you know, I can tell you that the worst one that I heard, and I don't know if this made it on the top 10, was a dentist who was injecting lidocaine in his fingers and claiming that he was losing his sense of touch and dropping instruments.
I think I heard that.
And it took private investigators to figure it out because he went out on claim. And then, you know, I'm sure that I had a PI following me around for a while and they caught him doing it. Like, whoa. I mean, that's some real pathology. Like, right. If you can go that far.
That's very, yes. In fact, what was it last week? We were sharing on DocTales what these guys were in, what, Taiwan? The ones that soaked his legs in the dry ice.
Dry ice. So that froze his legs off.
So they had to be amputated.
Right. Like, I mean, that's real mental pathology.
No, it is. But from my perspective, I don't want there to be fraud either. But if there is, I want it to be hilarious.
Right. Because you want to have a good story.
Yeah. Like, so Nicholas DuPuma. A cooking mishap that seems straight out of a slapstick movie raised alarm bells for a Delaware home insurer after a local man claimed that a kitchen accident causes home and convertible to go up in smoke.
Was the convertible? According
to the Daily Star, Nicholas DePuma tried to put out a fire from a burning pan with a dish rag, but it also caught fire. So he took the pan and threw it out of his front door. Unfortunately, it landed on the backseat of his convertible, setting it ablaze. A second pan also caught fire, but as he was about to throw it out, he tripped over a box and the pan landed on his leather sofa, instantly igniting it. Authorities were not convinced by his explanation, with the presiding judge describing the events like a plot of a Three Stooges movie. DePuma pleaded guilty to second and third degree attempted insurance fraud. He was ordered to pay $37,997 in restitution and was sentenced to 5 years probation.
Listen, people are creative.
Yes.
Right? I mean,
I heard a story locally where we lived about someone's house burnt down, but by the time the fire department got there, the grand piano was on the lawn.
No. That is a person my brother-in-law used to work for. His wife was a concert pianist.
That's right.
He was a very expert mountain climber. Like literally, he was on the first ascent of Everest by a Canadian team.
Okay.
So they were this incredibly eclectic couple, right? So they had like no children because they were into this like super avant-garde stuff. He was going to like never come home from a mission because that's what happened to, big mountain climbers. And she's this concert pianist. Their house catches on fire. And conveniently, there's this massive chainsaw wound on the front of the house. And the grand piano is sitting on the lawn whilst the fire department comes.
I mean, that's just stupid.
I would think so. Yes.
Okay. I mean, but and there is more PNC fraud that I'm aware of than disability and life insurance fraud, although it exists, right? I mean, people fake their deaths and
there's tons of them.
In fact, I just read about that.
But every single, like we've read to like several of these and the faking the death stuff is completely insane because every single time they get caught, it's because they post on social media. If you're dead, don't post on social media unless you're Jesus.
Right. I mean, but that's the kind of stuff that jams people up. Like there was a local, not my client. There was a local case for a nurse that went out on disability for, I want to say like a low back leg issue. She frigging got caught at a beauty contest type of thing in like 4-inch heels, shaking what her mama gave her. And it was plastered every outlet had pictures of this woman. And that's how she got caught. Like, I don't know if you're going to be fraudulent, just maybe be smarter about it. People that are going to be fraudulent aren't the brightest and are probably going to get caught.
Exactly. Right. You had a patient, I think that
that was crazy. That was back in the days of VHS tapes.
And follow her around.
Oh, yeah. So, she'd come in, I can't do this, I can't do that. It was like a workers' comp claim. And eventually the PI came in. And, this is back when you had like the tube TV. Mm-hmm. And she brings the tube TV in and the VHS recorder. And she plugs it in and she said, okay, so she could only work 3 hours today because her back's so bad. And then she plays the video and it was 20 minutes after she left work. And she's post-hole digging with here is a 35-year-old woman doing the work of 10, 20-year-old men.
Yeah.
And it was so funny because the PI looks at me and she goes, do you think she's actually disabled? I mean, it was super subtle. And I'm like, okay, I'll get it. I'll sign this off.
Yeah. But I mean, that's the kind of stuff that people get jammed up. And I tell people all the time, if you're honest, your claim will get paid. I mean, that's right. I mean, black and white cases get paid. Gray cases are going to get challenged. But if you're being honest, it should work, right? Mm-hmm. It should. And at least knock on wood with our clients, so far, everyone that's needed to go out has been honest, has been paid. We did have one fraudulent file. Somebody who claimed something happened with her hand and she couldn't write and she couldn't type. And so she couldn't do her job. And I want to say she was a physician assistant, and I send the claims packet, right? And I say, you might need your husband to help you fill this out if you can't write. I get back this 8-page, 10-page document in this like flowery handwriting. So I pulled up something else that we typically have people fill out, and it was very clearly her handwriting. So I got on the phone and I said, look, I can't hand this in. You're telling me that you can't write. This is your handwriting. And she tried to tell me it wasn't. And I was like, okay, I'm going to send it in because I'm just the messenger. But I'm not going to be surprised if this gets challenged and they rescind your policy. And that's what ended up happening, that they, it was her handwriting. And it was weird because her husband is a doc. He's still my client. And
Interesting.
No, wow. It's
there's a, you know, I think back to someone we know that went out on disability. This was a physician and said that it was because he was losing his mental function, having trouble with his memory, getting early Alzheimer's. And I honestly, I think, they made him do some of the mini mental status testing or something, and somehow
someone signed it off,
and he was collecting disability for his poor memory. So then we would proceed to do sporting events. I won't even say what, with this person. And I'm like, there's nothing wrong with his memory. He's totally fine. How on earth do you skate past this? It's just,
yeah.
Well, that one's actually genius, because if you get a your neurologist to sign off on it, right? Like the fact that you have past memories with dementia, that actually makes sense. Oh, no, but I can't make new memories.
And that person would have, but most people are going to slip up if they're lying.
Right. Right. You're right.
And that type of thing, I would guess, and I could be wrong, I don't know the file, that they would have made that person go to an independent medical examiner. So there's a lot of keeping up that lie. And eventually people crack, right? I mean, it's why mass murderers get found, and the, you know, the smartest of smart. So I have word finding problems.
But even the masterminds behind all this psycho stuff that they do, you're right. Eventually there's some crack in the master plan, and they.
Fascinating. It's fascinating to me. Like, human beings lie like crazy.
Yeah.
But ultimately, at our core, we're honest, because you can't keep a lie up forever. Mm-mm. Like, it doesn't work in our brains, right? Because the more you lie, the more you have to keep up with the lie.
That's
the more
like
people
you lied to.
Yeah, it just eventually it completely consumes you. Yeah. And the only thing that works ultimately is the truth.
Right. And getting caught and paying the consequences and.
Right. Yeah. Well, on that note, if you're honest,
how far we've come from how we all
live in Lakewood Ranch.
There you go. You can get yourself a bottle from the Loaded Cannon Distillery.
Loaded Cannon.
And they have, I don't know, I think.
Because all I know is my cannon is always loaded.
Poor Stephanie. You deserve, we'll have to mail you a bottle just to put up with this BS. Total BS. On that note, I want everyone to check out the episode. It's 139 that you are on, and then tomorrow's episode coming out, where we have you on again, talking about the importance of disability life insurance policies and all the ins and outs and things you wouldn't think of. So thanks for coming on this DocTales and sharing some fun stuff and just being here. It was great.
And if you ever visit
Southwest
Florida, you have a place to stay.
Absolutely.
Oh, thanks. Actually, okay, so now I'm going to admit my geography lack of information. How far are you from Amelia Island?
Oh, gosh. So Amelia is East Coast.
So far.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Amelia is East Coast.
We're 35 miles south of Tampa.
Yes.
Yeah, that doesn't help me, but I'm going to go with what you're saying is that's far. Just because Ryan and I are going to be in Amelia Island in some coming month.
almost positive that's East Coast.
Yeah, I literally have no idea. I am a typical American who does not
know. And we're so new to the state that I've heard of it. It's popular, but I'm positive it's at the northeast like the uppermost portion of Florida. So we would be
far.
Like, you'd have to go across and down the state.
Yeah, that's not
probably five hour drive. So
yeah, that's not gonna work. But I adore you guys, and I'm happy to hang out anytime. And if you guys come up to Philly, you have a place to stay here.
Awesome. Well, someday, I don't know, something might take us up there.
Yeah.
It'd be great to meet in person. So I'm sure the guys have a good time too. We'll take him to trivia night.
Yeah, it's not that far. It's up by Jacksonville.
Yeah. Oh, that's about 4-hour drive.
Yeah,
we're not driving 4 hours. I love you guys, but not
that. Not that much.
Not that much.
No, it's and on our, that note, but our son ran from Jacksonville to Daytona in 22 and a half hours.
I did drive to Jacksonville.
Which is 100 miles.
Is he an ultra marathoner?
Yes.
He is now, yes.
It's that or ultra stupid. You just said
we're going to keep talking. Ultra marathoner. So I follow a few of them. And it's a very interesting bunch. Like, talk about like mental strength. I feel like that's all it really comes down to. I mean, yes, you have to be physically sound, but I feel like most of the people that I've ever talked to in that space, it's more of a mental challenge.
Absolutely what he said. He said he learned more about himself during that 24 hours of running than he did in his entire 24 years of life.
I believe it. That's what I've been told from people that will not ever be me.
Me either.
Yeah, but can you imagine being able to short circuit your life where you can learn that much in that time? Like, I mean, I ran 12 marathons. Every marathon I ran, I was like, I'm not running 7 inches more than 26.2. Like, that was 100% what I did.
Yeah.
And he ran a marathon, and his immediate response was, I want to do a try. And he did an Ironman. And then he did that, and it was like, okay, now I need to do 100
miles. Now I need to do something else.
Yeah. And
the next thing he has to do is last man standing.
Yes. That's
about that, right?
Insane.
I don't.
So last man standing, and I might not get this totally right, but basically everyone starts at the same place, and it's essentially, I'm dumbing it down. There's a lap, and you have to finish the lap in a certain amount of time. And then like every hour on the hour, you do it again. And it's literally until the last man is standing.
Wow. Yeah. That's like musical chairs only.
But it's not the high school track.
No, I'm dumbing it down.
Yeah.
It's in Tennessee.
You just keep going until you're the last one.
And it's in the woods.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
No, it's completely nuts.
No, this is all. He listens to David Goggins and all that.
Oh, yeah. Nonsense. David Goggins, Chad Wright. He's another big one. They're both ex-Marines. Right. I have a thing with ex-SEALs. I find them fascinating. So I follow a lot of ex-military people.
Coincidentally, our son is military.
Well, maybe Jake will be one of those ex-military psychos that does.
Well, that's why Sean Ryan has become so successful in the world of podcasting. The guy is an absolute... he's a very normal person to listen to speaking, but if you have not listened to his podcast, they are unbelievable.
Yeah. I really like Chad Wright. I just have to take some of his God and Jesus stuff out because he's incredibly religious and it kind of goes through everything, but he's a fascinating speaker. He's had a fascinating life. And if Jake doesn't follow him, he should.
Chad Wright. Okay.
Perfect.
Chad with 2 D's.
We're back to the name.
Back to the names. Look at how we pulled this full circle.
Circle.
Chad, that's amazing.
Hi, I'm Chad with 2 D's. Yeah,
but the best name I ever delivered ever was Pantera. Let's just leave that. I'm gonna details.
Yeah, I can't wait to go home and tell Ryan that one.
No, and it literally when he died, when Dimebag Daryl Abbott died, they had a candlelight vigil in their backyard. And I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
You were committed to the brand and you named your kid after the band. And I'm like, dude.
Well, you know, Jose
Mighty Warrior.
Jose Mangan from Sirius crowdfunded and they bought Dimebag's limo and refurbished it. It works now.
Wow.
Wow. So if you have not listened to, what's it called, Disgraceland, that is one of the best podcasts in the world, Disgraceland.
I have not listened to that.
Yeah, it's very good.
Prime bought them But the Disgraceland show about the murder of Daryl Abbott is one of the greatest and most chilling rock podcast. Like
it's like a documentary.
It is
documentary.
It is so unbelievably good.
Yeah, I like the one on Prince.
I'm literally looking it up right now.
Yeah, no, you have to listen to that.
So,
yeah. like everyone needs to listen to that. Like whoever the guy is that does Disgraceland. Ooh. Like, I don't mind giving free advertising. Your craft is so high and mighty. I am happy to praise it.
He writes all the narrative and it tells you like a story. Cool. It's really good.
But so. the one, I was driving in the desert listening to this while May's sleeping, trying to get to Las Vegas in 24 hours from where we lived, listening to this, and my mind is literally blowing up. And she's kneeing me right now, telling me to shut up because I'm talking too much. No. But you have to listen to that. That is unbelievably
good. Oh, listen. I'll check it out. It says where music meets... Wait, what did I just say? Where? Oh, my God. I just lost it. Oh, where music and true crime meet.
Yes. There you go.
There you go.
Interesting.
All right.
All right. On that note, I got to go home and take my meds to go to bed.
And so,
oh my gosh,
do I?
Me? I was giving you another plug. There you go, guys.
Thanks again, Stephanie. So good to hang out with you. Thanks for being here through all of this, and we'll chat later.
It's no secret that medicine is a bit uptight. That's why Tim and I created BS Free MD to mix things up a little and have fun in the process. Besides, we are having these exact same discussions all the time. So we thought we might as well invite everyone to the party. If you really like us, you can get plenty more and maybe see one of Tim's cool tattoos on our Instagram or Facebook pages at BS4MD. See you next time.
Well, we try to keep BS4MD as raw and real as possible. We can't be held responsible for any medical decisions or discussions had as a result of what you've heard on the show. We know, bummer. But the truth is, we really do care about your questions. So feel free to reach out to us by email at doc@bsfreemd.com.